it occurs to me, what a long, strange trip it's been. This year has been one for the history books. You don't need to tell us, we all lived it. For our final podcast of the year, Ed and I look at the highs and lows of what has been one long, strange trip, 2020. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast so you don't miss out, and you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Ed, what a year. We've got a lot to unpack across 2020, but starting with the low lights, because unfortunately, it's been a pretty low year for a lot of people.
It certainly has been. It's not been a great year for me, being in the house most of the time, only seeing my grandkids every once in a while. Unfortunately, that seems to be on Thursdays, so they can interrupt my show. but there aren't a lot of good things to cheer about except the election itself.
The story of this year, of course, is COVID-19. It's brought the whole world to a bit of a crashing halt. But when we talk about everything that's happened in the States, really COVID's only half the story. It would almost be unfair to blame everything that's happened on COVID, because the other half is the absolute unbelievable inability to handle the virus and the inaction we've seen from the government. I mean, that's what's really put them in this position now.
Yeah, this is not just troubling. It seems impossible and insane. If you stop to think about it, and we're looking back now, when Trump knew about this disease, had he said, I'm going to do the following four, five, six things that will protect us from that, and I'm leaning on some of the advice that was given to former presidents, he didn't have to say Obama. He certainly had the right man right by his side, Dr. Fauci. And a lot of this could have been prevented by early on quick lockdowns, maybe not even too long, 15 days, organized testing by zip code or something like this, some kind of a program where each region would have its own target numbers, as we did in Victoria. If you reach this level, then you can open up this. If you reach this level, you can open up that. It would have been so easy. But he took the time to focus on poor Black people who were being beaten up by the police, racial issues, and no time on his fellow Americans. And let the economic gains, which he might be justifiably proud of, fall into abeyance, not even mentioning them, destroying them, in fact. Wow, what a year.
We've now seen over 300,000 deaths from COVID-19 in the United States alone. That's a lot of people not turning up to...
Almost 1% of the population.
Yeah, look, it's just a lot of people not turning up to Christmas lunch this year, you know?
That means almost everybody knows somebody. I certainly do. So it's not just a crime, a shame. The thing that we haven't focused on is the after effects. Now, I don't know anybody directly has suffered these after effects. But for example, the White House director of security has lost two limbs in these after effects. He'll never, ever be the same. I don't even see Donald sending him a tweet. There are a lot of other people who have constant tiredness, inability to focus. The mayor of Atlanta says her husband breaks out in unexplained perspiration almost any time. So there are real after effects to this disease. It's not just like the cold or the flu.
The economic impacts as well, Ed. We saw some relief on this one earlier in the year, but coming towards the end of 2020, Mitch McConnell has been playing Scrooge. What do you think of how the overall economy has been handled and those impacts on everyday Americans?
Plague on both your house. Nancy Pelosi overplayed her hand. The Senate did nothing. There is no focus on the American people. It's all on political power. And if you notice, the ratings of the Congress have gone down and down and down. Biden's ratings are up, but the administration, very poor. It's going to be very difficult to get this bottomless pit filled. People have no confidence in government, nor should they.
COVID obviously featured in the presidential campaign, which we'll talk about, but first I want to circle back to earlier in the year and the Black Lives Matter movement. The deaths of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, others we saw this year, horrendous, but unfortunately not unique by any stretch, and yet the reaction...
And continue.
Yeah, and continue, of course. But we saw this incredible reaction that sort of just exploded across the United States and indeed across the world. What was it about this year that sparked this movement, do you think?
I think people were fed up with the kind of thing that was going on, not just to Blacks, but to almost everyone who showed any sign of defiance. A totalitarian state was beginning, and people felt it. And so they were fed up, and they're fed up all over the world. So this played into the hands of many people who are disaffected. It will not go away.
Well, Black Lives Matter, I certainly wouldn't call it a low light of the year, certainly wouldn't call it that, but this was a reckoning over racial injustice that's been a long time coming. Very glad to see it. But the fact it was still necessary, the fact that it was still necessary was a low. The pushback we've seen, the counter-protests, the violence, the ugliness, Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot and killed two people, we saw a fatal stabbing more recently. Look, that's definitely a low light right there.
It is. It is. Joe Biden is going to concentrate on this, I think, in the first kind of umbrella way. I'm anticipating that the U.S. Attorney General's office, the Office of Civil Rights, will be much enhanced. And they will be an active rather than a reactive office. That is, they're going to go into the Kenoshas in Seattle and Portland and begin hearing what the troubles are and talking to the police and the protesters about how the federal government can help bring about peace. There has to be a positive action here. It cannot be, let's wait until the next incident. We don't have an attorney general yet. Doug Jones, probably the number one contender. He lost his seat in Alabama, but he's certainly strong on civil rights and has a lot of civil rights coattails. But he doesn't have criminal justice coattails. And all the crime that's been committed, particularly in the private sector, is going to have to be looked at. Sally Yates, the former prosecutor, would be terrific. I'm not sure where he's going to go on this, but I suspect he's going to go to someone who's known to be a prosecutor and a manager of prosecutions. So look north to New York, where they've had a lot of these people.
We've talked a lot about the election campaign this year, and we're going to talk a bit more about that under highlights. But post-election, the Trump campaign to undermine the election results. I mean, this wasn't just a low for 2020. This was a new, unexplored low in American politics. This was a dictator attempting a coup from Trump.
Yes, it was. But it's a good thing it all came out. Hopefully, we've learned a lot of lessons from this. One of them is, too much of our political system is based on goodwill and too little on actual written policy, procedures, and regulation. Now, I don't think we should thwart the system with regulatory issues, but I think we should have clear guidance about what presidential elections are about, when the winner's declared, how that winner's declared, how the handover begins, and the limits to court procedures to halt it. And the reason for this is the court procedures actually cast doubt on the very election itself. And I think there has to be some way of saying you can't go into court unless you have actual evidence. There wasn't a single case that had any insurmountable evidence. Mm. I think there were four people who were caught actually defrauding the system. All four of them were Republicans.
Of course, the Trump tried this is terrible, but perhaps not surprising. That his cult of voters are behind him, begging for a dictatorship, is immensely disturbing, I think. A force for fascism that is not just going to go away over the next 4 years. But the lowest low might be the utter cowardice of Republicans and Trump's enablers in the Senate or Congress or surrounding him in the White House.
Yes. Now, you could say there's a calculus here. That is, until this snake is dead, as long as his head is moving, we're not going to move because he might bite us. The snake is now wounded, probably mortally wounded. So a few people are pulling their heads out from under the rock. But it's very strange to me, in the years I've been living in the United States and around senators and congressmen, that they don't take their roles seriously as that. That is, they have the right, the privilege, and the responsibility to protect the nation, not to be the supplicant to someone in the nation. Doesn't matter whether it's someone you like Obama, or someone you dislike, like Trump. You are supposed to serve the people, not some figure. This has shown a real danger in the democratic system, not just in the United States, but around the world.
If I had to pick one that was really, well, really exemplified the lows of this administration, I'd have to say over 2020, it's got to be Rudy Giuliani. I mean, just a Trump creature.
Yes.
That's lower than I really would have thought possible in a lot of ways.
Yes, I had the privilege of meeting and working for a short while with Rudy Giuliani when I was in New York. I thought well of him. I thought he was a very able person who had places to go, probably Attorney General of the United States. What has happened to him is shameful, discouraging, and difficult to conceive of. But Rudy, we beat him on the there's a Christmas list and has big pardons, little pardons, and even smaller pardons. And Rudy is going to have one, because he certainly acted beyond the law. There is no bar that's going to let him keep his law certificate. So Rudy now goes to the bottom of the well, because no law firm will hire him. No one in the political world will hire him. He is done, period.
Highs of 2020, they are fewer and further between, but back on COVID, the response, healthcare and frontline workers have gone above and beyond in the face of indifference from the federal government. You do see these incredible stories of people pulling together and kind of innovating their way around the challenges faced. Dr. Anthony Fauci, also a man who, in the face of threats and indifference, has refused to back down from trying to do the right thing, unlike so many others Trump has surrounded himself with.
Yes, and he's done this successfully by doing something Trump never anticipated, that is going to the press himself, appearing on Face the Nation, appearing on NBC or Fox, but always delivering the same message. So much so that Trump was actually afraid to fire him.
Mm.
It might backfire on his own election, and of course it did.
We also see towards the end of this year, a COVID vaccine has been announced.
We had to call it the Trump stump. He did get warp speed going. he may have been enabled by this. Some of his people, the Centers for Disease Control, it's miraculous that it's been done and be done this time. Two American vaccines are available. The Oxford vaccine still has to undergo some additional trials. We tried here in Australia. We've abandoned ours. But we've developed a very quick test kit that we rolled out in the United States. We should probably roll it out here for health workers and care workers as soon as possible. But this kit will allow fast response and keep those lines from being so long for people who are just trying to go on an airplane trip to see their grandma.
Black Lives Matter, just touching on this one again, because I know sort of we did touch on some of the, probably the highs and lows before, but really, as I say, this was a reckoning a long time in the making in America, but also a global reckoning as well. The highlights of this to me is even with those kind of pushbacks and counter-protests that we mentioned before, this has cemented itself. The movement kind of has cemented itself as an impetus for real change. Were there any other highlights you thought, Ed, coming out of this one?
Well, the interesting thing about it, good and bad, this has no single hero or heroine.
Mm.
This is a movement. And because it's a movement, it has its own momentum, like the Vietnam War movement. You couldn't identify a single person as having led it. It's not like Martin Luther King. So I think this will last. And I think it's going to be cemented into the consciousness of young people who are soon going to be able to vote and their children for a very long time. The day is over where people are going to get their way in taking away other people's rights.
The Biden campaign for president, definitely a highlight of this year. And firstly, it's easy to forget that at the start of this year, Ed, back in January, February, Joe Biden was out of the race. I mean, he was dead on his feet in the polls, finished. And then in March, he became the comeback kid.
Yeah. As you recall, last year I was talking about Biden is the only one who's qualified to be president of the United States. But as time went on, it seemed to be he was the only one that was trying to disqualify himself with a very lackluster campaign and a very shallow message. But late February, March, he caught fire. He listened to people around him. He did what they said to do. And now he's looking like the kind of father figure that people want him to be, and coming out, naming a cabinet is strong on capabilities and ability, and basically creating the next step for the next president and maybe presidents to come.
The announcement of Kamala Harris as well as a running mate and now, of course, VP or future VP, a definite highlight, Ed?
No future. She's the VP. Definite highlight. And Mitch McConnell said that about his fellow senator, that the first woman to be vice president of the United States. Doesn't matter what her color is. She is the first woman.
Election day itself, was that a highlight, Ed? I mean, it was a very tense day for you and I watching the results come in. Obviously, the eventual result was a highlight. But, well, look, Georgia turning blue. That was a standout moment.
That was the highlight for us. Arizona, we anticipate a little bit. But I also thought there's a chance in Florida from the numbers we were looking at,
mm-hmm.
and certainly a chance in North Carolina. But when those fail, Georgia came through, making a huge difference in this outcome. And that's why it made it so hard for Trump to defeat this movement, because Joe won Arizona and Georgia. He couldn't say these were left-wing states. These were two states that were traditional Republican states. So he was in the soup and didn't know how to get out of it.
If I was to pick somebody, perhaps, you know, we mentioned Rudy Giuliani as perhaps exemplifying some of the lows of this year. If I may be so bold as to suggest somebody who, you know, kind of exemplifies some of the highs, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, an incredible job there. Still at it, of course, for the Senate race, but just remarkable, really remarkable.
Remarkable. She's got her eyes fixed on being governor of Georgia. I think whites and blacks now acknowledge that she's got all the talent in the world. And maybe she's a future president of the United States. She's talented. She speaks well. And she's kind of an Oprah. She gets people in the gut.
I mentioned before the Trump campaign post-election to ignore and dismiss the results. That's definitely a low there. I think Trump and his legal team have been perhaps even more shameless than I could have imagined. Not necessarily worse, but more shameless. There was even less dignity about it than I could have imagined. The checks and balances have worked better than I imagined. The court, Trump appointees, not there to do his bidding.
Yes, that was a highlight. The courts at every level behaved as they should, looked at the evidence and made a decision, and were not confused, bemused, or intimidated by rattling on stupidity that would not pass the litmus test of legal evidence. But let's not send things back to the courts. Let's make the process clear. And the courts bait the litigants on both sides. Make the process clear. The elections are not determined by courts.
And just finally, Ed, what about the coming year, 2021? Is there any predictions? Are we looking ahead to a sunnier year in 2021?
It's going to be a slower ramp up. Unfortunately, maybe this week something will be done to put some money in the Christmas stocking and to stop people from being evicted, but not much more. If the Democrats win both houses, that is, win the two seats in Georgia, then the ramp up will be much faster, much cleaner, and much better. Joe is going to lead the running day-to-day of the government to people who are competent to do that. And he will be on the road a lot, healing the nation. It's a very important thing to do, and I think he can do it well. COVID, the battle's not over, but at least we all have the same direction now. And I think it can be won. And Joe's the kind of person that can help us make this victory count for not just the Americans, but for the world.
Well, Ed, it has been a hell of a year for the two of us. Look, I wouldn't have done it any other way, you know. Probably do 2020 a little bit differently, but certainly not you and I. Looking forward to returning to this one in 2021 for so much more.
Well, we've got an inauguration coming up. No telling how that's going to be done. It may be on Zoom.
We'll be catching you then, mate.
Thank you, mate.
As I say, this was our final chat for 2020, but we will be back in the new year around the time of the Biden inauguration to discuss that one. Make sure you don't miss out. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe wherever you might find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and here's looking at what will hopefully be a better new year.